Every time I'm interacting with a brand, I'm always picking apart and analyzing what they're doing to build connection or to break connections. My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy. I'm Yvka Adam, and I'm the founder and CEO of Iconery.
And what does Iconery mean to you?
Oh, like the name, or what does it represent?
Oh, actually, what does Iconery mean?
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you asked. So, well, we make 3D printed fine jewelry on behalf of celebrities, brands, and influencers. So when I started the company, I wanted to make sure Icon was in the name because it represents both the designer who's making something iconic and then the wearer of this most personal art form. They become iconic because of what they're wearing. So we are a foundry for icons.
When was the company founded?
We were founded in 2014.
Had you been a CEO before?
No, I'm a first-time CEO.
What was your past in the tech space? What was your role before you became a CEO and founder of your own company?
Well, yeah, so I have had 14 years of marketing experience. I was also at eBay for 4 years. So my tech experience is really actually specific to e-com and mobile. I was on the mobile team at eBay, and then I ran both marketing as well as mobile development for another fashion e-commerce company based here in LA.
And when did you become interested in tech?
I started my career at Ernst & Young and had the opportunity to run the Entrepreneur of the Year Awards. I think I was like 25 or something. But it gave me an opportunity to go around LA and interview and get to know 60 to 80 CEOs in a year. And I was getting to go into their offices, like feel the environment of a startup, a tech startup versus a manufacturing facility versus, you know, all these different kinds of companies. And so that's when I was first exposed to this whole startup scene. And then I knew I wanted to get startup experience before I went to business school. So I actually asked one of my mentors, Scott Jarris, if I could work for his startup for a year before going to business school. And it was 2007 when everyone was doing search engines startups, and it was a search engine. And so that was my first exposure to being in tech, and I realized I really loved the product management side of that. Obviously, I had zero background in that. I actually took internships during the year when I was in business school just so I could get a product management internship at eBay for business school. So I guess my first entree into the tech scene was through Ernst & Young.
That's rad. And what would you say your calling is?
To provide the best customer experience possible.
That's awesome.
I have this, like...
Do you know that I host the Hello Customer podcast?
No.
Yeah, and it's all based on how extraordinary brands... Or it's based on how large brands deliver extraordinary customer experience. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I've interviewed Zappos and Levi's. And, like, Levi's builds skate parks. They don't even put their brand on it around the world just to bring the community together.
Oh, like, God, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with my own customer experience. It's one of those things where every time I'm interacting with a brand, I'm always picking apart and analyzing what they're doing to build connection or to break connections with me.
100%, yeah.
It's just, I guess, one of my old CEOs used to call me the customer whisperer, which is like, to me, the best possible title or compliment someone could give me, so.
How did you know that was your calling? Actually, was it when you were called the customer whisperer?
No. You know what it was? I was at eBay during turnaround, which started in 2008, 2009. And they had realized how they had built this entire business kind of not thinking about the customer. It just kind of built itself. And they were profitable from day one. And so there was this huge internal cultural shift to focus on the customer. And as a result, everyone was getting just drilled into their brains, talking to the customer, you know, what what's the right customer experience. I ran the first big mobile study with McKinsey on how people just use their mobile devices in everyday life when I was on the mobile team. And I just kind of fell in love with customer feedback and all the different ways to interact with customers and then translate that into the best possible customer experience. I'm not saying eBay achieved that, but I'm saying that's where I first realized I loved putting myself in customer shoes and, I don't know, thinking from their perspective.
Totally. And how did you go about taking action to develop that calling throughout your career?
I guess I have so many friends at various startups or, you know, now big companies. Like Airbnb is an incredible example of a company with unbelievable customer service. I guess I sort of like in the way that people collect or want to, they want to visit certain, like the Seven Wonders of the World or whatever. Right. I was like, I want to visit the companies and unpack how they work with customers. I guess that sounds, anyway, it's bizarre. But like I went around the whole Airbnb office taking pictures of their customer journey that they document from both the host as well as the visitor side. I guess I'm just kind of obsessed with learning more. I remember the first time Bobble Bar actually messed up something or something was taking too long and they sent me a free pair of earrings and I'm like, oh, I love you guys forever. I will always remember that.
So that's an earrings company.
Well, yeah, they're a costume jewelry company. Technically, they're in the same sort of jewelry space, but we're fine jewelry.
Totally. Yeah. No, I feel the same way. I'm so passionate about customer experience. And
I guess it's almost like the brain chemistry that happens when you could like bond or decouple from so it's almost more of like the neurological or
totally. I never thought of it that way.
Really, really interested in how the brain works, especially when they're like the serotonin triggers when you make a purchase. And I love kind of studying that
totally
thing.
I mean, even Basecamp, one of my favorite software companies, they have incredible customer service and experience. And a lot of people in tech make fun of me for still using Basecamp because it's not like tech sexy anymore, I guess. It's like Basecamp was like the go-to tool, especially like at South by, you know, a huge conference in Austin for tech in like 2000, I don't know, 9, 10. Like everybody was like Jason Fried, Basecamp, Basecamp. And now there's so many like software tools like Asana and all these things. And Basecamp, I guess, doesn't have the same strength and tech sexiness. But, I mean, hey, they're profitable. On top of that, their customer experience and service is bar none. And so I'm stoked. Mm-hmm. I'm a proud Basecamp customer. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't need to be tech sexy. I want my customer experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was your mentor in getting to where you are today?
My primary mentor is this guy, Scott Jarrus. He's a multiple-time kind of turnaround CEO, but he's also an angel investor. He won Entrepreneur of the Year, the National Awards. That's how I got to know him, is he was a winner at the EY National Awards. He and his wife actually have always been just champions of, I guess, going in the route that is most authentic to myself. I guess it's like when I decided to go out and fundraise for Iconery, you know, everyone's telling you, well, this is what guys say. This is how you got to play the game. And I mean, some of the best advice that he ever gave me is like, go ahead. Like, you can do those gimmicky things. But he totally supported me in wanting to be like, look, I just want to report my numbers the way they are. I want to not, like, I want to be true and honest and like open kimono with my investors because I want to build a relationship with them in a different way than I think other fundraising processes have gone, you know, like how they've evolved.
Totally. How can people look him up?
I guess on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Scott Jarrus.
Cool. How do you overcome challenges?
The not pretty answer is I usually like cry for a little while. Yeah. To try to figure it
Ditto.
Out.
Ditto. Yeah, no shame.
Well, first of all, I accept that I'm having a challenge in a certain space. I kind of look at my work, life, home, you know, pets, whatever, as these different balloons. And each one is expanding or contracting, meaning it's either getting more pressured or less pressured or even can pop it and doesn't exist anymore. And so when I encounter a challenge, like when everything's been going well with my team or something and then it starts to build up pressure and I'm having challenges, I'm like, okay, this is just the natural process. The balloons are always getting bigger or smaller. Someday this will resolve itself and I'll be presented with another one. So I guess it's sort of just taking things in stride.
Who, if you don't mind me asking, like, who's your support network? Like, do you have a go-to? Like, for me, it's my my old business partner in my sports company. Who's your support network in when you're having, you know, when you're going through the process of an entrepreneurial challenge.
Some of my best friends are actually nowadays are other female founders. So it's getting together with them, which is really nice. It's really great to have friends who completely understand what you're going through. So I almost look at the female founder events that I go to as opportunities to meet my new friends. Actually, one of my friends, Kyla, who's the founder and CEO of Hello Society, she was speaking on a panel at the Montgomery Summit, I think, a couple years ago. And I just remember her being on the panel, and she used the F word. And I was like, oh, my God, that girl's so real. And I went up to her afterwards. I don't remember what I said, but it was along the lines of, can I be your friend? And as a result, like, even just this last weekend, we spent all day, you know, getting brunch together and just talking through some issues that I'm having with my team, talking through some challenges with marketing. She's on the marketing side. And she gets me, and she understands the challenge. And so I really rely on my female founder network.
100%.
Turns out we have another friend who did the exact same thing at that, our other friend, Lee Green. Went out to Kyla afterwards, was like, can we be friends?
What is Hello Society?
They work with influencers, Pinterest, Instagram, even dog influencer, cat pet influencers, they connect those influencers with brands for advertising.
Was there ever a point that you were on a track and you're like, whoa, wait, the direction that I'm going on is not where I wanted to be going, and you changed at any point in your career?
No, because I always sort of have my North Star in mind. I know that's like a gimmicky word to use, but I've always been the kind of girl that has my 5-year plan in place. And so if something has come up where I'm like, wait, this doesn't feel right either, it's like, okay, this is a reminder to go to correct, or interesting. Like, maybe there's something here I need to explore, because maybe this is actually how it's going to get me
interesting.
Yeah.
And now, I would typically never ask this, but because of how you like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I would never ask something like that, but it sounds like you're a person that does actually have a vision for that.
Starting Iconery and building it now for 2 years, it's actually makes me feel wildly out of control. It's the first time I don't have a vision or a plan.
Because you're a first-time female founder and CEO.
Yeah, sort of by accident.
It's like, it's heavy.
Yeah. I would love to sell Iconery and actually continue to build it within another big company.
You know what would be amazing? Just putting it out there in the podcast universe. Because the Honest Company doesn't have a jewelry line. And so, like, what if Honest acquired Iconery and made it part of the Honest umbrella, and then somehow you became CMO of Honest?
Great. Perfect. No,
I'm glad this podcast was able to make
it. I've been wanting to work for Honest Company since they launched. I mean, I know I worked for Cash Warren. I know Brian Lee, Sean Kane. Like, I know the founders.
Cash is so sweet.
Oh, he's remarkable. And he makes you feel like you're the only person in the room when he's talking to you.
Cash is Jessica's husband. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a subscription since they started. I now have the Honest Beauty subscription, and I won't buy from the stores because I want on track how much I've actually spent with them, so that when I go in for my interview, they're like, oh, she spent like $10,000 with us in 4 years. So,
aww. So what's the best lesson you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dreams?
So there's two things I've realized. Being 36, I've been through, and, you know, 14 years of professional experience, I've been through enough that when something happens, I know that no matter how challenging it is, I've gotten through lots of challenging stuff, so I'll make it to the other side. That comes with, I mean, like, you remember your first breakup, you're like, how am I ever going to live or eat again? Like, I'm dying. And then
every breakup, that's how I feel.
Well, no, every breakup, but then you're like, wow, I'm never going to get over this guy. And then you're like, but I did get over that one guy, and it took me 4 years, but whatever.
Yeah, totally.
It's sort of one of those things where, like, once you start to build up enough experience on the back end, you're like, okay, it still sucks to go through it, but I can make it. The other thing I've realized is that and this is going to sound bizarre, but it's that I get everything I want.
I don't think it sounds bizarre.
Okay.
I think it sounds awesome. And I think some people would potentially misperceive it as like being like sassy or something. But the way I just received it, especially because I get the honor of like knowing you is I put it out in the universe and I execute with all my heart and all my passion. And I am relentless, but with love. And therefore, I attract everything that I possibly want into my life.
You said, I couldn't have said it better.
That's exactly how I received it. Yeah.
Good. It doesn't have anything to do with anyone else, like me winning and anyone else. Like, it's not at the detriment to anyone else. But I've realized that if I want something enough and I'm like, I can just feel it and I'm going for it, I know that I will, that it will become available to me.
Totally.
And it also helps me realize, just checking in with my intuition, if I don't really want something but it comes into my path, I'm also able to recognize, like, that actually isn't what I ultimately want, so I can release it.
Totally. I mean, that's I mean, a ton of you guys have heard me say this all the time. Your intuition is your oracle.
Yeah. And it helps me realize, like, in the darkest depths, especially of founder depression, I'm like, okay, but you know you always get what you want. So eventually one day, like, even if it's not selling Iconery for $100 million, like, whatever, you want this experience of being able to grow and support a community and build a brand and do all these things. So that is going to be available to you.
Totally. Who is a woman in tech that inspires you?
Oh, she's one of my favorite people. Crystal Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's one of the co-founders of Sensei.
Sensei is an app based out of, or it's not, it's a chat bot that is based out of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. So Crystal, every time it's like she is a constant consumer of geekisms and latest tech and then she's so like heartfelt and fun to be, like, lively and fun to be around. And she'll like, she's the type of person that will like put lights around her palm tree and then use a Raspberry Pi to program them. And so she's one of my favorite women in tech because she's such a stunning, beautiful person, so playful and lovely, and then like, so you can just geek out with her.
Totally. She's also the co-founder of LA Startup Week.
Mm.
Yeah. Sensei, for those of you that don't know, it's like Google, except that you get to ask actual humans. And so you just input in a text message, and they have integration with Facebook and with Slack, what you know and what you need to know. So I could say, like, I know about podcasting. And then when people have a question about podcasting, I'll get alerted either on my phone or Facebook or however I have it set up. Or if, like, I need something, which is really trippy, because earlier, Eva and I discovered... So about a year and a half ago, I needed to know what can of tuna to buy. And it turns out, because Sensei's anonymous, it turns out that Eve is the person who responded. She's like, wait, do you mean the salmon? Like,
So you needed to know what kind of tuna to get. And this is the nice thing about Sensei is if you were just to ask Google or Yelp or, you know, like ask certain technology databases about questions, they would just give you the answer specific to what you're asking. But what she was really asking is like an easy, I don't know what you were really asking. I responded with, you should really check out canned salmon because salmon doesn't have the mercury content levels that tuna does. It's also found in a can. Like, it's delicious, whatever.
Yeah, and I was like, where should I get it? Where, like, she suggested, I think you suggested what brand
Trader,
even.
Yeah, Trader.
And then I was like, well, okay, who sells it? And then I immediately went from there to the grocery store to buy this tuna, this salmon from an anonymous person who turns out to be Eve. It's really trippy.
It's Sensei, Sensay.
Yeah, and it's dope. And it's run by two incredible male and female co-hosts. So Crystal, obviously, female founder, and Ariel. Is that how you say his name? Ariel, yeah, is the co-founder. And he's such a sweet. Talk about breakdown moments. I remember I was like super burnt out. Like, I think it was a year and a half or something. I was at a tech event because I wanted to show up for my friend who owned the tech company, but I was bad. And I showed up, and being around people was so overwhelming that I just started crying. Like, I couldn't. And so I left, and I was like, God, but I really just want to be there for my friend. And I just, like, emotionally, physically, like, couldn't. And Ariel saw me outside and went for a walk with me and, like, kind of shielded me so no one can, like, see that I was, like, a mess and just a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of that, that's a perfect lead-in into founder depression, if mm-hmm. you're comfortable talking about it. Sucks.
Right.
And it's real. And I think it comes and goes. How would you describe it?
Well, it's a combination of deep loneliness and weight on your shoulders and then like bewilderment about what you do next.
Yeah.
But I actually think one of the triggers is this whole notion that as a founder, you are 100% generating, you're birthing a company, you're generating. And it's almost like when you're birthing a child, you're giving everything you have to this, to create this
child. Totally.
It's very, very hard on your body, on your spirits, your hormones.
Totally.
You're doing the same thing with a company. And actually, I think it's really hard if you've never founded a company to understand what that's like. Because you're 100% generating every single decision. And that's very mentally taxing. So, I mean, if you think of it as almost like birthing and like, you know, it takes so much of your body, your mental space. The best way to counteract it is really actually physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of the reasons that I was so burnt out this year, especially after we closed our seed round in December, which was huge. The first quarter, I was like, could not bring myself to just generate anything. I mean, I did, obviously.
Yeah.
We're this far. But I made the decision to actually do the last 90 miles of the John Muir Trail in July. So as soon as basically the snow was melted enough for me to get up to the Sierras, I told my team and I prepped them for months, like, this is what I have to do. And that's actually what kept me going. I'd fantasize about, like, what do I need to pack? Like, what gear do I need to buy? Like, what dehydrated food am I going to bring? Which was actually great because it brought this mental capacity that was towards something other, completely different. And then, of course, taking 9 days completely off the grid. It was a Friday to a Sunday. Let me reconnect with my happiness. I mean, I remember thinking on the trail, like, wait, I've just been happy for an hour. Wait, I've just been happy for 2 days. Like, it was like, oh my God, I can't remember the last time I've been just happy. And as a result, it came back. I had so much energy. I got to see actually where there were, you know, like where the weak points were within the team. It strengthened them to see what it was like to work without me. And as a result, I came back and I'm like, okay, I don't feel like I have to generate 100% of everything myself. I now have a team that's like gained the muscle.
Like muscle memory.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, that nobody should do I do a lot myself. Mm-hmm. It's not a smart way to build a business. Mm-hmm. I mean, I learned this really early on. Like if anybody is ever wiped out from a business and then that business ceases to exist, it means it was actually never a business in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because to build a smart business means that it could run itself. It has the right players in place to run, and that includes the founder. So if the founder, I mean, like just to throw it out there, and a matter of fact, Steve Jobs is no longer here and Apple must go on, mm-hmm. you know? And so there needs to be systems in place and the right people in place to continue running things forward. And that's our job. One thing that I find is incredibly lonely is being a founder is really sexy. Being a CEO is really sexy. So, and especially if you're not one. And so then you're perceived as hauled together on top of it, someone that has every single answer and every single connection and probably loaded with cash, like cash dripping out of our ears. And it's just like so far. I mean, you know, you can't speak for everybody's situation, but it's just not reality. Like, no.
And I actually think Silicon Valley, the show, has done the best job of portraying this. And I think it's actually been a service to our community to be able to show, like, this is actually what it's like in a lot of ways to start a company.
Yeah.
Because the startups, like, a lot of the very successful startups, like, for instance, Oculus or Instagram, have made it seem really sexy to start a company. And every time I hear someone be like, I want to start a company, I'm always like, don't do it.
It's hard. So what resource would you recommend in the tech space?
Yeah, so we're actually part of this accelerator called Amplify, based here in Venice Beach, and they are such an incredible resource. And they, what they do is they invest in companies from around the country and help them grow to be ready for their seed or their Series A. So they're an incredible resource of guys who can just help coach you on your idea or how to build it or who to talk to.
How can people stay in touch with you?
So I am Ivka at iconery.com. I'm also CA Ivka on Instagram, and I have an open, I guess, profile. I'm Eeks too on Snapchat.
Awesome. Yeah. And we're about to do a snap. So it's awesome. Thank you so much for spending time with the Women in Tech show. I think the world of Ivka, and I think Aww. That is like so exciting. I think if you guys don't try to connect with Ivka, you are missing out. I know that I'm going to try to connect with Ivka more. I just feel so blessed to be exposed to her story and her journey, and I'm thankful that she invested her time in connecting with all of you.
Thank you so much, Esprit.
Yeah, of course.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech show is a WeAreTech.fm production.